You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Rough Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Melville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Monday, August 18th, 2014, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thank you for joining us for today's show. We have returned from a very, very busy week. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we were up in Seattle, Washington, covering the CannaCon starting on Thursday. We got a full day's coverage worth at CannaCon on Thursday. And then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we split some time between the CannaCon and the 23rd Seattle Hemp Fest. What an amazing Hemp Fest. And we're going to bring you some highlights on today's show. We're going to start off with the 420 radio news. And of course, Priscilla Seibin is back in college, so she won't be joining us for the news, unfortunately. But we wish her the best of luck in her studies. I'll bring you the 420 radio news, which has now been revamped to give you all your latest headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. So check that out. 420 radio news today. We're going to talk a little bit about the autopsy report of unarmed teenager Michael Brown, who was gunned down in Ferguson last week. New Approach Oregon has committed to a huge ad buy for television in the state of Oregon to legalize marijuana. We've got a look at the tourism boom in Colorado. We've also got New Mexico news, where Santa Fe and Albuquerque are fighting to vote on decriminalization. And what better place to grow marijuana than an old abandoned prison? We'll talk about a hearing that's going on in Brush, Colorado to decide that today. Also on the news today, we are going to bring you behind the headlines and show you my speech from the Seattle Hemp Fest main stage on Friday, where I give tribute to Mark and Jody Emery. That's coming up in the behind the headlines segment. Then after our 420 break, we'll do some Reefer Madness Debunked. I don't know if you saw those ads that Florida's No on Two medical marijuana, anti-medical marijuana campaign put out. They're pretty egregious, and we'll show you them in our other segment there, Reefer Madness Debunked. Then at half past, we've got Dr. Mitch Earlywine joining us for some live cannabis Q&A. You can ask him your live questions about marijuana culture, science, history, or health. I'll ask him a few questions as well. We're going to talk about the topic of breastfeeding cannabis-using mothers. That's right. Cannabis-using mothers and breastfeeding, do they pass that on through their mother's milk? Is it a danger to the children? We'll also talk about the studies on marijuana and violence to see if there's anything behind that leak of information in the Michael Brown case. And then at the end of the show, after our anti-drug PSA of the day, we'll have time for a radical rant, which features U.S. Congressman from California, Dana Rohrabacher, giving his really, really stupid speech at the Seattle Hemp Fest. Not that the speech was stupid, it's the subject of what he was speaking about that's very, very stupid. And that, of course, is marijuana prohibition. Then we'll move things into hour two, Toker Talk Radio. I've got an interview from the CannaCon conference with NWMJLaw.com. The woman behind that organization will tell us all about why you need expert legal advice if you're going to get into the green rush. And then to close out the show, we're not going to have a 420 break today. We're not going to have Bacon Dan with music because I've got a very special presentation of the I-502 discussion panel. They called it a report card on I-502 with activists who disagreed about a lot of the results of I-502. It was a pretty contentious panel. We've got that whole 45-minute panel for you at the end of hour two today. It's the Russ Melville Show, your weekday source for the news of marijuana legalization and business on 420radio.org. We're back with the headline news right after this.
Russ Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio is 24-hour marijuana.
Join us for the International Cannabis Business Conference September 13th and 14th in the Portland Ballroom at the Oregon Convention Center. The International Cannabis Business Conference will focus on the emerging cannabis industry in Oregon, the United States, and around the world, putting you in front of the industry's foremost entrepreneurs, political leaders, and attorneys. Also showcasing over 40 cannabis-related industry exhibitors, offering VIP lunches and free nightly networking events. Prepare yourself for America's next great
Drug Truth Network Cultural Baggage, replaying Wednesdays at 11 Pacific.
Hi, I'm Richard Harris. I'm the former director of addictions and mental health for the state of Oregon. Drug treatment and prevention are woefully underfunded right now. Measure 91 will better fund drug treatment and prevention programs. Marijuana isn't going anywhere. We're not stopping it with the war on drugs. You have to remember that marijuana is a pretty benign drug. It doesn't have the usual dependency features of, say, heroin or alcohol abuse. Now, marijuana feeds drug cartels and fuels violence. We can crack down on that. Take the money from drug cartels and, by the law, spend it on law enforcement, treatment, and education. Criminalizing marijuana is just no way to solve the problem. That's why treatment people like me are supporting Measure 91.
It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available daily on our website at 420radio.org. Now, here's Russ Melville with your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is your 420 Radio News for Monday, August 18th, 2014. The St. Louis County Medical Examiner's Office claims unarmed teenager Michael Brown had marijuana in his system when he was gunned down by Officer Darren Wilson in Ferguson, Missouri last Saturday. While Mary Case, the medical examiner who conducted the autopsy, would only confirm that the victim was shot in the head and chest multiple times, an anonymous source told the Washington Post about the marijuana test results. The community has been rocked by 8 days of protests and militarized policing. Some protesters note the release of surveillance video of Brown's convenience store theft, combined with this release of irrelevant test results revealing Brown's marijuana use, serve only to impugn Brown's character before a potential jury. A protest leader shouting into a megaphone during a rally on Friday afternoon asked, quote, "What was in the system of that cop when he was pumping bullets into that boy's body?" End quote. New Approach Oregon, the campaign behind Measure 91 to legalize marijuana in the Beaver State, has announced it will be funding the most expensive pro-marijuana campaign in Oregon state history. The campaign, flush with mostly out-of-state money raised through the Drug Policy Alliance, has reserved $2.3 million in ad buys, including $750,000 on local NBC affiliate KGW and ABC affiliate K2 from September 22nd through the November election. The group's first ad featured a retired 80-year-old school teacher explaining that, quote, "Marijuana is here and it is not going away," end quote, "so we should tax and regulate it to benefit society." The latest ad features the retired head of the state's Addictions and Mental Health Division praising the measure for providing money for drug treatment and prevention, which he said is now overwhelmingly underfunded in the state. Is marijuana to blame for a tourism boom in Colorado? Maybe, say recent reports in various newspapers. The Des Moines Register quotes a pot shop owner in Denver who says about 80% of her customers are from out of town, and how, quote, "suitcases will be lined up by the front door from people who just got off a plane," end quote. The Denver Post reports Hotels.com saw a 73% search increase for Denver over the 420 holiday. The Boston Globe reports Priceline.com found Denver was the third most popular spring break destination, beating Florida, California, and Mexico. But the people at Visit Denver claim it is merely coincidence, since 2013 was also a record tourism year before pot sales were legal, and that most of the tourism rise is due to conventions that were booked long before marijuana was legalized. Voters in Santa Fe, New Mexico will decide this November to lower the punishment for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana by adults to just a $25 fine. Marijuana would also become the lowest police enforcement priority. The city clerk's office has certified that activists have turned in more than 5,000 valid signatures to meet election requirements. However, the city council itself can approve the ordinance before then. In Albuquerque, activists came up short on their signature count for a similar decrim proposal. Tonight in their meeting, the Albuquerque City Council will debate putting the measure before Albuquerque's voters, citing a math mistake at the clerk's office that gave signature gatherers a lower goal than what was legally required. 5 of the 9 councilors are needed to pass the measure, and it would need the support of the mayor to make the ballot. The town of Brush, Colorado will be holding its second public hearing tonight concerning the conversion of a former women's prison into a massive marijuana growing operation. Nicholas Erker bought the prison this year, but Brush has declared a moratorium on all marijuana businesses. Brush also voted against Amendment 64 that legalized marijuana. The former Colorado High Plains Correctional Facility is, quote, a 60,000 square foot concrete building that's surrounded by barbed wire fence and razor wire on top of it, end quote, according to Erker, making it the most secure site to grow marijuana in Colorado. Erker claims the grow site would bring 31 jobs and $500,000 in tax revenue to Brush, but locals with signs reading morals and value over money and all American city equals no marijuana are expected to return to protest tonight.
420 Radio, the activist radio station. The International Cannabis Business Conference takes place September 13th and 14th at the Portland Ballroom in the Oregon Convention Center in Portland, Oregon. Featured speakers include Oregon Senator Floyd Prezansky, U.S. Congressman Earl Blumenauer, Daily Dish blogger Andrew Sullivan, author Doug Fine, and Harborside CEO Steve D'Angelo. To learn more, visit our website at International.
My name is Richard William Riggs. I'm a judge in Oregon. In 1998, I was elected to the Oregon Supreme Court, where I served until October of 2006. I've been asked to give my views about the new approach to marijuana initiative that is going to be before the voters very soon, and I'm happy to do so. I've read the measure, and I'm going to vote for it. And the reason I'm going to vote for it is because I think that it's inevitable that marijuana is coming to Oregon in one form or another. And I hope it comes in the form of a good bill like this one. If we're going to have marijuana in Oregon, this is the way to do it. Drugs and marijuana particularly play a huge role in the economic engines of most of the local gangs. The gang-related violence that occurs is often as a result of bad drug transactions of one kind or another. I think the proper legalization of marijuana and the control of it in an appropriate way is a substantial step forward to eliminating some of those problems. Using the criminal justice system to enforce certain societal social norms is kind of a waste of resources. It takes away from the criminal justice system dealing with forcible rapes and murders and so forth. I've read this measure, and I'm going to vote for this measure. And I think anybody who reads the measure and gives it careful thought will probably join me in that vote.
I don't use marijuana, but as a teacher of 36 years, I can tell you lots of other people use it. I don't believe in prohibition. I don't think it works. Prohibiting it hasn't stopped anybody from getting a hold of it. I would like to see it regulated so that maybe kids can't get a hold of it so easily. I know they get a hold of it now very easily. I support a new approach to marijuana. I support legalizing it. It's with us. It's not going to go away. And if we can get money through the taxation, we can also educate our kids about it. That's why I support it.
Welcome back, everybody. 15 after the hour, time for us to go behind the headlines. And as I mentioned in the intro, we just returned from Seattle Hemp Fest, where I had 4 speaking spots on 3 different stages, and Herb Thrasher had 3 speaking spots. on two different stages. So 420 Radio was well represented. We had an opportunity to go around and speak to many vendors and to watch the performances of many bands and other speakers. We'll be bringing you highlights of that all week long here on the Russ Belville Show and on 420 Radio. But if you'd like to get your downloads for yourself of the raw uncut video, we'll have them all uploaded to the Radical Russ YouTube channel all throughout this week. It's going to take me a while to download them all and catalog them all, but we'll get them all uploaded for you. So subscribe to Radical Russ on YouTube and you can get all my latest posts up there, as well as the replay of all the Russ Belville shows, all at Radical Russ on YouTube. All right, so for this first video, our first highlight, I'm going to bring you my Friday speech from the main stage at Seattle Hemp Fest. A little bit of the introduction was cut off, but basically it is my tribute to our good friend Jody Emery, who wasn't at Hemp Fest this year for a very, very good reason. Seattle Hemp Fest Friday speech.
Come here, it's always like doing a family reunion. You meet so many people, so many activists, so many hard-working volunteers here, that every time you come back you get to see all these friendly faces, all this family. It's just so wonderful. But this year I don't get to see one of my family, and I'm actually pretty excited about it. That's because our good friend just north of us from Vancouver, British Columbia, Jody Emery, is not here today. Because on August 12th, 2014, her husband, Mark Emery, was finally released from the prison in Yazoo City, Mississippi, and he is home with Jody. So I bring you greetings from Jody Emery. She was sad she couldn't be here, but not that sad, because she finally gets to be with her husband, who was taken away. Now, I want you to think about that. Think about someone you love, your husband, your wife, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, and another country reaches in and takes them away from you for something they were doing in your country. That's what happened to Mark Emery. On September 10th, 2010 is when he reported to prison. So he did 5 years in prison, an American prison, for selling seeds from Canada. And when he made that money selling seeds, he gave a whole lot of it, almost all of it, to the marijuana reform movement. Mark Emery was arrested on July 29th, 2005, when the DEA got cooperation from the Vancouver PD to arrest him. The administrator of the DEA was a woman at that time named Karen Tandy. And Karen Tandy said that the arrest of Mark Emery, because he gave so many millions to marijuana reform, was, quote, a significant blow to the legalization movement, end quote. So they were arresting him for political purposes. He was a political prisoner in this country for 5 years. So I got to thinking about this significant blow. What happened since 2005 in that significant blow? Well, we added 13 more medical marijuana states. That's what we did. We added 8 more decrim states. That's what we did. How's that for a significant blow? We added 11 CBD states, mostly in the South, that are admitting that marijuana has medical purposes. And of course, in Colorado and Washington, we legalized marijuana. That's the significant blow. And in 2014, we're going to legalize in Alaska so that the coast just touching British Columbia is legal, just like the border with Washington is legal. And Mark Emery will be surrounded by states that are legal. And my home state of Oregon is going to legalize. And we're going to drop the price of marijuana and tax it at $35 an ounce and help drop the prices here in Washington. And Washington, D.C. is going to make it legal so that the lawmakers in our nation's capital have to walk to work around legal pot. Florida will be a medical marijuana state. So all I have to say, DEA, if that is what you call a significant blow, the DEA can significant blow me. I'm Radical Russ from 420 Radio.
Radical Russ. He's got a message for the DEA we've never had come from our...
There you go. That's right. The DEA can significant blow me. Boy, I tell you what, we could use a few more significant blows like that. But we don't want Mark Emery to ever have to go back to prison. So glad that he's home. Thank you, Jody, for all your inspiration these years. They sent one activist to prison. They ended up getting two. We're right back with some Reefer Madness from Florida after this.
420 Radio, the home of marijuana experts. At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs, and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics, Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
Hello.
Hello.
I am John.
I'm Scott.
We're from a cannabis broadcast.
And you are listening to 420radio.org.
Cheers.
Are you a hypocrite? If you live a closeted cannabis lifestyle, you are. Read about seven people living a closeted cannabis lifestyle who are on the verge of coming out in The Hypocrites by Mara K. Eaton. Available at areyouahypocrite.net. You can purchase the book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, also available on iTunes. Check out Mara K. Eaton on Facebook as well. Learn more at areyouahypocrite.net.
Marijuana is an addictive drug, which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death. Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind. If the hideous monster Frankenstein came face-to-face with the monster of marijuana, he dropped dead from fright.
You know, it's not easy countering seven decades of propaganda in a two-hour show, but let's try. It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Reefer Madness Debunked.
All right, welcome back, everyone. 23 after the hour, and today we're taking a look at some Reefer Madness straight out of Florida. That's right, the state of Florida, where we've got the Question 2 medical marijuana amendment that is on the ballot for November. It needs 60% to be able to pass, and it is currently sitting at 88% in the polls. So things are looking pretty good. Now, I had previously shown you on the show this ad that I've got up on the screen right now that had been the first anti-medical marijuana ad we saw from the No On 2 campaign. Pretty crudely done. Basically, a picture at a doctor's office with a long, long, long line of photoshopped people. And they're there to get their medical marijuana cards. And on the left side, in the long, long line, we have the sore throat, can't sleep, and eating problems line. And then the short line with just one lady in a wheelchair, the cancer and terminal illnesses line. And this is on the Facebook page of No On Amendment 2. The idea behind this, of course, is that, you know, people that are using medical marijuana, they're just faking it. It's all fake. They're just making things up to be able to get their weed to get high. I always thought this ad was a little bit of a backfire, though, because I think there's plenty of people out there who can't sleep or have eating problems who might like to try marijuana medically. So we shall see how that turned out. But now they've gotten a dose of money from Sheldon Adelson, the billionaire Las Vegas casino tycoon, pumped a couple million into the campaign that has led to a new set of ads that are appearing all throughout Florida, and the Reefer Madness behind them, just incredible. First, we have the doctors say no to Amendment 2. Florida doctors say no to Amendment 2. The lack of clear definitions in the amendment would allow healthcare providers with absolutely no training in the ordering of controlled substances to order medical marijuana. That's the president of the Florida Medical Association, basically saying that Florida doctors don't trust Florida doctors with ordering medical marijuana. And as far as this no training in the ordering of controlled substances, it seems that doctors who are trained in the ordering of controlled substances, have been ordering a whole lot of OxyContin and Percocet and Vicodin for patients there in Florida. We know about their pill mill epidemic, and we also know the stats that 84% of the world's OxyContin and 99% of the world's hydrocodone are being used in the United States. Let's see what else we got. The Florida Medical Association strongly opposes Amendment 2, saying they believe Amendment 2 would be serious enough to constitute a public health risk for all Floridians, because no one in Florida is smoking marijuana now, and if it were to become medical, my God, something terrible might happen. The Attorney General has issued that she's against it, but I wanted to get to these, the pot cookies. The first one here says, if Amendment 2 is passed in Florida, cookies that contain THC will be available. How are children supposed to know the difference? And a picture of a chocolate chip cookie. Here's some news for you. Cookies with marijuana in them already exist, and people are using them already. There's nothing about marijuana being prohibited that is preventing anyone who wants to from making cookies laden with THC. But that, of course, is the new scare. And this is the ad that has so many people up in arms in the cannabis community. It features the back of a young man who's got a young girl with her arm around him. And in his back pocket is marijuana cookies. Again, really badly photoshopped. They could spend some money on a graphic designer. And the text here, will the new face of date rape look like a cookie? Folks, alcohol is the real date rape drug. Everyone knows alcohol is the date rape drug. And if not that, it's roofies. It's GHB. The idea that marijuana is going to lead to violence and sexual assault has absolutely no basis whatsoever. In fact, there's not a single study to back it up. And there's plenty of studies that show that the users of marijuana are far more mellow than the users of alcohol. But I'll tell you, I've been to Florida a number of times over the past 3 years. And if there is a drug problem in Florida, beyond the pain pills, it is alcohol. I saw so many instances of socially accepted drunk driving while I was there in Florida. It was just hard to believe. I saw people stumbling out of bars to go to their cars and other people talking about how that's just accepted. And I'm supposed to be scared that young people might be using marijuana cookies. I'm sorry, really badly photoshopped young people will be using marijuana cookies. Another scare they're trying to propagate through the No on 2 campaign, caregiver qualifications under Amendment 2, name, address, and RU21. The idea here is that drug dealers might be able to be caregivers and help their patients acquire marijuana. Now, remember, Florida is not going to have home grow. So this scare that, you know, somebody with a felony record in drugs might become a caregiver isn't saying this person's going to be able to grow pot. And then, you know, with the growing of the pot, then be able to traffic it and sell it. All this says is that a caregiver can have possession of that ounce of marijuana in order to help their patient. So that if your patient's in a wheelchair and can't get to the dispensary, your caregiver, your husband, your wife, your son, your daughter, or somebody who's a friend who wants to help take care of you can go to the dispensary and get your ounce. We're supposed to be scared that somebody with a felony record might be able to have a whole ounce of marijuana on them? And of course, what scare wouldn't be complete without, what about the children? Is this the legacy we want to leave to Florida's teens? Under Amendment 2, teens will be able to legally purchase pot without their parents' consent. Yeah, by teens, folks, they mean people who are aged 18 or 19 and old enough to fight and die in a war.
420 Radio. Fighting prohibition since 2012. The Marijuana Business Association, or MJBA, are proud sponsors of The Russ Belville Show. It is the mission of the MJBA to establish integrity and legitimacy, create common market standards, provide market intelligence, and develop best ethical business practices for participants in the emerging legal marijuana industry, including commercial hemp, medical marijuana, and recreational marijuana for adults. Learn more about the Marijuana Business Association and visit mjba.net to join today. That's
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, treat law enforcement with respect and stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney." Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com.
It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and a leading author and researcher on cannabinoids and health, who pins the Ask Dr. Mitch column for High Times magazine. Get your questions ready in our live chat or call in to 971-533-7111 now.
Welcome back, everyone. 31 after the hour, and we've got Dr. Mitch Earlywine on the line. How you doing, Dr. Mitch?
Having a great day. Thank you.
Oh, so glad to have you here. And we're back from Seattle Hemp Fest. And Dr. Mitch, I got to tell you, this time I did pretty good with the sunscreen. You notice I don't got the headband.
Simple pleasures, man. It sounds minor, but it really turns out major in the long run.
I tell you, I had the big bottle of it with me as I was walking around Hemp Fest, and people were asking me for sunscreen. So I felt like I did a little healthcare harm reduction myself this weekend.
You were the Johnny Appleseed of sunscreen.
I guess I am. All right, folks, get your questions ready for Dr. Mitch. You can get them into our live chat room. Just ask one of our moderators there how to get involved. Or you can call in live at 971-533-7111. But we're going to start off with giving Dr. Mitch the first word in a topic that I think is on everyone's mind right now. The coroner there, the medical examiner's office, not the coroner herself, but an anonymous leaker, has leaked the Michael Brown autopsy results out there in Ferguson, Missouri, saying that the unarmed teen who was gunned down by Officer Darren Wilson had marijuana in his system. Well, Dr. Mitch, tell us just how relevant that is.
I mean, this makes me want to weep. A lot of folks know I'm from St. Louis. I grew up not far from there. It's harsh to see this kind of red herring thrown out when a case is really very much about somebody getting shot six times, including lethally in the head, who is unarmed. I mean, in truth, I wouldn't care if he'd had a bong right to his lips at that moment. It's really not relevant to the case here. We have laboratory data over 40 years old now showing that folks are less aggressive or certainly no more aggressive when they're high in the lab. All this new animal literature suggesting that when the CB1 receptor is stimulated, rodents are markedly less aggressive, not more aggressive. So I feel like this is just some kind of distraction from the real civil rights issue here about when is it appropriate for police officers to use lethal force.
Yeah, it certainly seems like a distraction to me as well. And we saw this kind of reporting as well during the Trayvon Martin case, during many other cases where they'll point out that a young person has marijuana in their system when statistically one out of five young people are using marijuana on a monthly basis. How much of a chance would we expect a random drug test to pull up somebody having marijuana in their system when they're, you know, 18 to 25 years old?
Well, and particularly when we look at the base rate, so at least half of folks that age have tried cannabis, and odds are high that he wouldn't have used within the last couple of weeks, and he still could have tested positive if he was a regular user. So I, you know, emphasize that in part just because this is such a high base rate phenomenon, but also even if he were literally stoned to the bone right at the time, it would not have contributed to him acting more aggressively.
Some speculation out there from folks that are covering this case. I saw one protester asking, you know, what is the drug test result on the officer? And I'm just wondering if you have any idea, are drug tests routinely done in an officer-involved shooting? And if not, should they be?
I in truth, don't feel like that would be a good use of our resources. In part, we know the one that's most contributing to alcohol from my lab and from other studies, and that's alcohol. And so unless he was intoxicated right at the time, I don't think they were going to give a law enforcement officer a breathalyzer right after a shooting like this. But it's generally not practice, at least as far as I know. It may depend on different states.
Okay. We have a question from our chat room. Runaround 666 would like to know if taking CBD-only medications would cause someone to fail a drug test. And a follow-up, do we know of any risks of using CBD with other prescription meds?
So far, we don't have tons of data on the combined use of CBD and other drugs simultaneously. CBD is relatively independent of that CB1 receptor. It's probably not going to hit, say, dopaminergic or cholinergic receptors, so it's probably not going to be a high-risk combination sort of drug. I caution folks because right now there's a lot of cannabidiol hoopla on the web that is maybe 10 milligrams in a gum or something like that, and we really don't have any good quality control on this, so I'm always reluctant to see people spend a lot of money on this. If you've got a reliable source, somebody who's really good who has a high CBD strain, or if you got a prescription for Sativex and really are getting CBD, that's great. But if you're taking one that you don't really know about and it hasn't been tested independently, I want to make sure you really are documenting your changes in symptoms, because a lot of these just either aren't strong enough or don't really have a lot of CBD.
And will it cause a failure on a typical workplace drug test if you're using CBD
so
only?
All of those are about THC metabolites. So unless it also has THC in it, you shouldn't fail a drug test under those circumstances. Mm,
okay. Interesting to note. And also, you mentioned those other CBD preparations. I've heard of them. The ones I'm hearing about they're supposedly derived from hemp, so they could be shipped anywhere because they're just a hemp product. Do you know much about the legality of that?
So that is legally true, but unfortunately, industrial hemp, at least the way it's grown in most of the countries that ship into here, is not particularly high in CBD. These were particularly bred in order to have those long stalks so they would make good fiber and good things that we use hemp for. They weren't consciously bred in order to have a lot of CBD. So literally less than 1% THC on a lot of them and less than 1% CBD on a lot of them. So I'm apprehensive about the CBD content on a lot of those.
Yeah, I would, buyer beware. We are in a kind of a green rush, and there's going to be a lot of people trying to capitalize on that. And just make sure that you can trust the source here. I would get, expert sources on this stuff before you invest too much or, money or your time or your health in these sort of things. Want to be responsible. We'll continue to report on these things as we get more info on them as well. We're speaking with Dr. Mitch Earlywine, taking your live questions in our chat room and at 971-533-7111. I just concluded with a Reefer Madness segment where we pointed out the new Florida campaign. The anti-medical marijuana people on Florida are asking if a marijuana cookie could become the next date rape drug. And Dr. Mitch, I feel like this is the same answer as the last question. Alcohol is really the date rape drug, isn't it?
So, and by far and away, literally... 3 times as more likely when you do toxicological analyses on blood or urine in at least female victims of alleged sexual assault, alcohol is the drug of choice. It's funny because GHB, particularly in the early 90s, was sort of the thing everybody was worried about, and I think there were some salient cases, and many people suffered from that one. But again, we're talking about those. Is it physically possible? Well, yeah, but I just don't feel like this is a attack for arguing against medical cannabis that has any real credibility. And I think it's easy enough to rather than say, oh, hey, women, watch out for this, say, hey, guys, if you want to get laid, find someone who loves you.
There you go. And we're speaking with Dr. Mitch Earlywine here from SUNY Albany, and he's the author of many books, including Understanding Marijuana, Parents' Guide to Marijuana, Pot Politics. You can check those out through your local bookstore, Amazon.com and such. Another topic I wanted to get to here, Kyle Cushman was up at the Seattle Hemp Fest, and he gave a speech where he warned folks, to young people mostly in the audience, to not be taken in by some sort of peer pressure that flower buds are just for old people, or they're just passe, and that dabs are the new hot, cool thing. That hot, cool thing. Listen to me. But anyway, his point was, don't be a dab head. And he was saying in his speech that we really don't have a lot of research or information on what happens to people if they smoke highly concentrated oils for a long period of time, day after day. Can you add anything to that sentiment?
First of all, I just want to express my delight. I've always admired Kyle, and you know, this is a guy who could be making tons of money if suddenly everybody did dabs all the time, and he's much more concerned with the community than he is with his own pocket. And I feel like we really do have next to no data. Mallory Laughlin and I published one paper on dabs earlier this year, and it was the first one of its kind. We are getting reports of more rapid tolerance, and that's kind of what we'd expect given the higher concentration. I don't mean to be alarmist about it, but we've got such amazing flower cannabis right now. Do you really need to concentrate unless medicinally it's absolutely necessary? And odds are high you don't.
Yeah, be careful with that stuff, folks. I mean, the way Kyle put it was, you know, it's like champagne. It's like special occasion stuff. And don't think that the flower is passe. There's still plenty to enjoy about good old fashioned herbal marijuana. All right. One other topic that made the news while we were out, and it continued to grow, was this case here in Oregon, where the doctors at Oregon Health Sciences University had a young woman sign a waiver that she was going to breastfeed her child, even though she was a medical marijuana patient. They wanted a waiver to say, hey, we told you not to do that. Could be bad for the kid. I guess they don't want to get sued. What do we know about marijuana users' possibility of THC in kids' breast milk there?
So we really only have data from the animal literature. It is other primates. And it looks like about 2 to 5% of what you ingest ends up in breast milk down the line. In truth, it's so hard to know what to say on this, and better safe than sorry and all that, but that is not a lot of THC. And if you're really worried, you can always pump and dump. So if you do get high one night, and the next morning, if you pump and then just dump that milk and go for the next one, we don't have the data, but again, that's probably a little bit safer. I'm always better safe than sorry on the infant stuff. My dad is visiting and fessed up that, you know, they gave us phenobarbital at the drive-in back in the 60s just to get us to sleep. I mean, you never know how these things are gonna go in the long run. But this isn't the kind of thing where, you know, people should be arrested for child endangerment for it or anything like that.
One final question. The U.S. uses most of the world's hydrocodone and oxycodone. So what is the rest of the use? What is the rest of the world using for their moderate to severe pain?
What's funny is their attitudes about pain are different from ours. So if you go to particularly Eastern Europe, Czechoslovakia and things like that, they're very tough it out. And they tend to use aspirin, ibuprofen and things like that. They're also much more willing to say, hey, I need to lie down. Hey, I need to take it easy. My ex hurts. You know, whereas Americans are, I got to go drive. I've got to make sure this happens anyway. And that tooth gritting kind of approach actually makes pain worse. And then what's funny is, as we know, at least in some of the Eastern European countries, they're not above having 2 shots of whiskey if they've got an ache.
There is some medical alcohol. All right. Well, Dr. Mitch, thanks for joining us. And you can always get your email to 420research@gmail.com if you got a direct question for the doctor. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks a lot.
When we come back, we've got Representative Dana Rohrabacher's speech from Seattle Hemp Fest on why prohibition is really, really stupid. It's the Russ Belville Show.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, your ticket to the Boston Freedom Rally. At Royal Queen Seeds, we've got premium feminized cannabis seeds, including auto-flowering varieties for the medical cannabis user. We've got bulk shipments available and new CBD oil. Plus, we accept payment in Visa, MasterCard, and Bitcoin, as well as other methods. Check out our website at royalqueenseeds.com for more information. We are located in the Netherlands, and we have online grow experts ready to help you now at royalqueenseeds.com. In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
I'm not saying he's a loser or anything.
He's a dork.
Dork!
Yeah. I mean, no. We're not like, you know, we're having fun being cool, and he's just into different stuff. Well, I hang out with my friends mostly.
Girls think I'm cool.
But he's, you know, I'm into sports. Well, I used to be into sports, but now, well...
Yeah, chicks dig me.
Well, I guess he has friends, too. I think having girlfriends is okay, but, you know...
We like to party, right?
Guys like him, they don't like to party, like we do. You know, we're having a lot of fun.
Truth is, there's a million things to do that are more fun than sitting around getting stoned.
Yeah, we like to party. Did I say that already?
This has been the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. To cure this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Russ Belville Show every weekday on 420radio.org. I'm Radical Russ Belville, and I want to thank you for listening to 420 Radio. We couldn't survive without you and our sponsors, and I'd like you to check out one of our prime sponsors, the National Cannabis Coalition. I've been working with NCC since June of 2012, and I'm proud to be part of the team they have assembled. National Cannabis Coalition is building the partnerships with reformers, lawmakers, and industry we need to be successful. Visit the National Cannabis Coalition website at nationalcannabiscoalition.com or the easier-to-remember ncc420.com. That's where you'll get the exclusive first look at my radical rants, as well as informative articles from the nation's top cannabis pundits. Visit ncc420.com today, and if you have your phone handy, text Russ to 420-420 to support NCC and 420 Radio. It's a free text message that helps us help you end adult marijuana prohibition. Learn more at ncc420.com, and thanks for supporting independent marijuana legalization public radio.
Handle the truth.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
You have offended my family.
Hey, this is great, man.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
I know nothing.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
We don't need no stinking budget.
Homosexuality.
Down the centuries, you have blurred the meaning of the words, we, the people.
Be warned, this is not your mother's marijuana.
You could ask yourself a question, do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
I want to ask you a bunch of questions. I want to have them answered immediately.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Radical Rant.
Welcome back, everyone. 48 after the hour, and one of the highlights of the Seattle Hemp Fest weekend was the keynote speech by California Representative Dana Rohrabacher, who throughout his career has sponsored various bills to alleviate the federal prohibition on marijuana and the medical marijuana states. And this year was successful in getting his bill through the House to defund DEA raids on medical marijuana patients in the states that have legalized it. It now sits in the Senate.
There's nothing funny about that stuff. And you know, this legalizing cannabis stuff, it's a classic conservative issue of less nanny state government and states' rights. And our next speaker, you know, we've had a lot of freedom fighters up on this stage. A lot of people that dedicated their lives to serving our nation, serving the people of this country and making it a freer and a more just place, because that's the American way. And our next speaker, because this festival is not just about legalizing hemp, it's about freedom and liberty. And today we have the number one freedom fighter in our country. A man who's been fighting for freedom and liberty his whole life. including the time he urged President Reagan to tell Mr. Gorbachev to tear down that wall. Ladies and gentlemen, the man who this year authored and passed the Rohrabacher Amendment through the House of Congress, which put the states' rights and first. Ladies and gentlemen, the man who's tearing down the wall of prohibition, speechwriter for Ronald Reagan, gives me great pleasure to introduce to you Seattle, U.S. Congressman Dana Rohrabacher.
Thank you. I'll move this over here. I'm
H.R. 1523.
Thank you very much. It's, you know, every time they mention, I was Ronald Reagan's speechwriter for 7 years, and during that time period, Ronald Reagan was told when we got to the right moment when we could have peace and eliminate this enemy of freedom, the communists that were in control of a large portion of the planet, all of Reagan's senior people told him, don't say tear down the wall. You're going to go to Berlin. Don't mention it. And a bunch of us actually smuggled the speech to him that he used in that speech in Berlin. And let me tell you, I'm very proud of the role that I played in defeating communism, but I am very proud of the role that I am playing now to get the government off your backs and to make sure that people are free to run their personal lives the way they were supposed to, where our founding fathers had in mind. You know, I'm gonna ask a couple questions of you, and if you agree with me, you might come along with what I'm saying on this. And that is, at this point, the federal government is paying farmers not to grow crops, all right? That's stupid. And it's especially stupid if those farmers could be growing hemp and they wouldn't have to have a federal subsidy. That's really stupid to be giving them money at that point. And you know what's really stupid also? Borrowing money. Every third dollar we spend in Washington is borrowed. What's really stupid is borrowing money from China in order to subsidize farmers who could be earning an honest living growing hemp. So that's number one. Is that really stupid? It's really stupid. Putting someone in jail for smoking a weed is stupid. Now, spending limited law enforcement dollars. Today we have very limited dollars we can put into our courts, into our jails, into our prisons. Spending the time of our police and our judges and our jails on people for smoking a weed is really, really stupid. And let me say that borrowing the money from China in order to take our limited time of our police and our judges and our prisons in order to put our own people in jail is really, really stupid. And arresting someone for smoking a weed at a time when a lot of people who are advocating this are claiming it's to help that person. And all we're doing, of course, is putting someone in a cage and giving them a criminal record that will follow them for the rest of their life. That is really, really stupid. Okay. Having the federal government involved in criminal justice is really stupid.
Yeah.
The fact is, our founding fathers set up our Constitution, and they were brilliant in that. They said the federal government isn't going to be involved in criminal justice at all, because the federal government should be just defending the nation and doing those things that count for the nation as a whole. But criminal justice and education and other issues were supposed to be left for the states. Having the federal government come in and say that we're going to arrest someone for smoking a weed is stupid. It is especially stupid if the states have, as this state has, and about half the other states, have voted to make it legal within their state. For the federal government to come in and supersede a state's decision to not have this as a criminal activity is really, really stupid. So what we have to do now is to make sure that America smarts up. And we smart up by going back to some of those fundamental principles that worked. For goodness sakes, those people who studied our, Constitution had no intent for people in Washington, D.C. to be telling you what you can consume and what you can't consume. That was totally out of their idea of what the federal government should do. And the fact is, we know George Washington, you know, George Washington, didn't he grow hemp in Mount Vernon? I mean, didn't he grow? I mean, I don't know what the heck he was smoking in the Indian peace pipes. The bottom line is, we have had 150 years of freedom in our country, but for this century, for some reason, we have been evolving into a tyrannical society. We don't need policemen to come and arrest people for their private behavior. We need policemen who are focused on what? Protecting us from each other. Police officers used to be known as, I am a peace officer. A peace officer is different now because they're being treated as law enforcement officers. We have to work to make sure that we do not militarize the local police so that they think of themselves as separate from us. The police should be part and parcel of each and every one of our societies and our friendships. So what we need to do now is make sure that the conservative Republicans and the liberal Democrats in Washington start working together in to be consistent with their basic principles. I've been a Republican all my life. Republicans keep talking about limited government, individual freedom, personal responsibility. You know what? They also talk about states' rights. And we have just won, for the first time, the first loosening of federal controls on marijuana was based on holding their feet to the fire and saying, do you believe in states' rights? Do you believe that local people have a right to set their own laws? And we got, by putting it down to them, challenging them on that issue, we had 50 solid Republicans, and we joined with the Democrats, and for the first time, we have reaffirmed that if a state legalizes medical marijuana, the federal government shall not interfere with that state or the people in their state.
Yes!
All right. Now it's up to us. It's up to us to be active. I believe in American freedom, and I believe that our government, if we step aside and let other people make the decision, special interest groups that will come in and make the decision for us. It's up to us on this issue, making sure that people have the right to consume medical marijuana if that's what their choice is, and that's the choice of the people of their states. We have to fight that through until, like the Berlin Wall, that wall comes down. If you are interested in joining with me in my efforts in Washington, I want you to get active here locally, but if you're interested in joining me in Washington, you can pick up your smartphone and I will get you all the information as it comes up in Washington. You get your smartphone and punch the little thing in that says new message, and then text 33733 and text the word hemp. That's text 33733 and then text the word hemp. I will be happy to give you an update of what's going on so you can contact your congressman. Go and see your congressperson and tell them that for the cause of freedom, they need to make sure the federal government isn't repressing people, putting people in jail who are no threat to anyone else. And we need to make sure that we understand this is, we want the police to be protecting us against murderers and rapists and child predators. We don't want our police wasting their time trying to prevent someone from smoking a weed in their own house.
That's Congressman Dana Rohrabacher speaking at the Seattle Hemp Fest. His really, really stupid speech. I loved it, and I got some tweets out of that. You check out my Twitter account, Radical Russ, at Radical Russ, and you'll see some of those pictures. That's all the time we got for hour one, but stay tuned for hour two. Coming up next, we've got video from the other event we covered this weekend. Video from the Tacoma Dome and CanaCon 2014. We've got a great interview with the woman behind Northwest MJ Law, NWMJLaw.com. Check that out coming up next. And we'll also have the new commercial from New Approach Oregon for marijuana legalization under Measure 91 and the full I-502 report card panel from Seattle Hemp Fest. It got contentious. I think you'll enjoy it. For everyone here at 420radio.org, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.